It fits right. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. So tonight, what I want to do is, I want to share with you tonight that Jesus is the truth. And here he comes and he's talking to the church here at Laodicea. And he's talking to the Laodiceans. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And here's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Just talking about truth, and that's what the message is tonight. Just be the truth. You know what, Sister Patsy? I ain't got to worry about what I tell you if I tell the truth. If I lie to you, I got to remember that for days to come. Right? If you just tell the truth, you ain't got to worry about it. The other day we was in here and Dylan Barnes, we was building this right here, and Dylan Barnes said, "You're going to hurt my feelings." I said, "Son, you can't hurt your feelings. You live with David Barnes for how many years? 23. Don't tell me that." I said, "You've lived with your daddy for 23 years. He tells it like it is. You may not like it now. And he may not tell it exactly real comforting, but he tells the truth. Don't he, Dolores? Can I get a witness?" Amen. Let's go. Amen. Revelation 3:14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest see," in verse 19, "as many as I love, says the Lord, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I want to thank you right now for every prayer request that was mentioned tonight, every praise report that was given. Lord God, I pray for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for the young man that was asked this week to step down from his church. Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you just give him comfort, give him peace. Lord God, I pray if there be something wrong there to straighten it up. Lord God, tonight I pray right now for Sister Patsy in the church that she's mentioned tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fix that problem tonight. Lord God, if they don't repent, I'd pray you'd move them out of that church. Lord God, that it wouldn't affect your house, Father, that your house would still be holy, that your house would still be what you called it to be, Father. Lord God, we come in tonight to do nothing more and nothing less but to worship you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you for what you do in this local body here. Lord, I pray tonight, and you know my heart right now as I stand behind this sacred desk, I pray in the name of Jesus that that mess don't come here. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that that don't come to this church, that you keep it as far as the east is from the west. We've already been warned about it tonight. And Lord God, I pray that you would remove that if it be here tonight. Father, I love you. I thank you. I praise your name. And I thank you tonight that we're not a dead church, even though we read about them in the Word of God. Lord, tonight we read for it to be our warning, to be our alert. And Lord, tonight I pray everything we do be honored and pleasing and glorifying to you. Father, guard my throat and my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight and we look here at the church at Laodicea here, Jesus presents himself. If you look with me there in verse number 14, he presents himself as the Amen. That's how he presents himself, as the Amen. When he come right on the scene, the only time in the Bible that you'll see him refer to himself as the Amen. And that means the truth or certainty in what he's fixing to say. And as he gets here, we see what Jesus is going to tell the church in their true condition. You know what, tonight when he starts talking to a church, Sister Patsy, he's going to bring it to light. What a man soweth, what a man sows, he shall also reap. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. If you reap darkness, darkness will spring up in your life. And tonight when he comes here, he is telling the truth and the true condition and what and that they need, that they have. And Jesus is always the true witness. Your friend may not tell you the truth. Your spouse may not tell you the truth. But I want you to know tonight that the Word of God, it'll always tell you the truth tonight. He was truthful with the church at Laodicea, and He will be truthful with us as well. And as I read that, I want you to know, I read that He is truthful with them, that He tells them the truth. And I studied that, and I said, Lord, why did You tell the church at Laodicea the truth? Why did You tell them that they were hot and cold and lukewarm? Why did You tell them this? And I got reading, and it stuck out to me. In verse number 19, the Bible says, here is why He tells them the truth in their life. He said, as many as I love. Tonight He tells you the truth, and He brings it out in your life because He loves you. He won't let you walk down that road that you used to walk down. If you're a child of God tonight and you're going to read His Word, He's going to bring it out to you. He's going to shine it right in your face tonight. And tonight He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. So tonight I want to look at this, why Jesus told them the truth. If you look with me at the paper that you got, I see He's truthful because He loved them. In verse number 15, He tells you the truth tonight, child of God, because He loves you too much to lie to you. He loves you too much to lie to you. He loves you too much to hurt you. He loves you too much to let you keep on doing what you do tonight, and me as well. So tonight He's truthful because He loved them. In verse number 15, He's truthful about their heart. As I read that tonight, there's three temperatures that He took there. There's three temperatures that He took here in this one text here. And I want you to know tonight, I want to look at them temperatures just for a moment. Number one tonight, He says, I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. So the first temperature that he brought out there is that He said, I know that you're not cold. He said, I know you're not cold, and I know you're not hot. So tonight, I want you to know, but there is some that are cold tonight. There are some churches you can walk in and they're as cold as ice. When you walk into that place and you're on fire for God, you stick out like a sore thumb. You know when you walk in that place that you're not in the right place. When you walk in that place and there are cobwebs in the baptistries, and I'm telling you, it's more than something that's just set up as a ritual than anything else. So tonight I want to say, number one, He was truthful about the heart at Laodicea, and He said that they had neither a cold heart. But tonight I want to give you this. In Matthew 24:12, you said, preacher, can a man of God or a woman of God get a cold heart? And I want you to know tonight, you can get a cold heart tonight according to the Word of God. And He says tonight, and because iniquity shall abound. What is that tonight? That is sin tonight. That iniquity is sin tonight. Because you let sin abound in your life. Because I did not repent. Because I did not get to the spout where the glory runs out. A lot of times a person will become cold. He said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? It shall wax cold. He said, but they're not cold. But I see another one in the text. He said, because they're neither cold nor hot. I see some people are cold, but I also see some that are hot. Look at this tonight. You say, what is going to make it hot tonight? What's going to make me hot tonight? It's going to be that Word of God tonight. The more you stay in this Word, the more you read this Word, the more you let this Word read you, the hotter you're going to get. The hotter your temperature is going to rise. You're going to get a whole lot hotter the more you stay in that Word tonight. And the Bible says this in Luke 24 and verse number 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? They said our heart burned within us. So what made their heart burn? What made them get on fire for God? What made them come alive? It was this. While He talked with us, by the way, how does God talk to us now in the world that we live in? He talks to us through His Word tonight. Through His written Word tonight, He talks to us. If you want your heart to burn for God tonight, you get in this Word, and I promise you, your life will come alive. Your spiritual life will come alive like you've never seen. He said, while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scripture, scriptures. So as he got into that word, I see tonight, number one, it's cold. Number two, it's hot. He was truthful with them. But then the third thing that he brings up is that they were lukewarm. He said, you're not cold, you're not hot, but you're lukewarm. You're right stuck in the middle. I've used this illustration many times at this church. And if I went around this room tonight and I asked you to gauge your spiritual life, to gauge your spiritual heart, to gauge your spiritual thermometer tonight, and I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being cold and 10 being hot, where would you place yourself tonight? Would you place yourself at a 10 that you're smoking on fire for God and that you're heated up for God? Or would you plant yourself at a number 1 and you say, preacher, I'm so cold and callous, it ain't even funny. Where would you put yourself tonight? You know what most of us would do in this room? You'd say, I wouldn't want to be a cold, cold Christian, and I wouldn't want to be so hot that I'm arrogant. So just put me at about a 5 or 6 there, if you would, preacher. And that's about where I'm at. You know what 5 or 6 is? That's stuck right in the middle. That's lukewarm. That's not what God wants. He don't want that in my life. He don't want that in your life. And he called them out in this. He said, and because you are lukewarm, because you're straddling the fence and you're not all the way in, you're making me sick. Can I say to you tonight, there's nothing that makes God sicker than a child of God straddling the fence, trying to live for the world and trying to live for Him. Can I say to you tonight, the most miserable person in the world is a child of God trying to live for the world and trying to live for God. You cannot do it tonight. In Revelation 3:16, the Bible says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you're straddling the fence. I want you to look here in that third illustration I have there. There was two water sources that was flowing down to where this church was. There was two water sources that was coming down to this town. And one of them being Hierapolis. And that would be this. That would be one that would come down. And this water source was hot. And as it would come down to it, Brother OJ, it was hot water as it come their way. But as it traveled over 6 to 8 miles to get down to where this church was and where these people was, by the time it got there, it became lukewarm. It became of no value. It became lukewarm and it just of no value. But then on the other side, there was another stream that flowed down to the town, and that was Colossae, and it would flow down. And the only problem there was is that water was cold. It was freezing cold. But by the time it got down to the mountains and it got down to where they was at, that water had become lukewarm. So if you're hot and you start flowing the wrong way, or you're not insulated by the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to be long. You're going to be lukewarm. The further you have to flow, the further you have to go. If you're not wrapped up in the Word of God tonight, you can be on fire and move 6 or 8 miles down the road and let things in life come your way. And by the time you get to where you need to be, you will become lukewarm. But then you can be up here and it can be so cold. And by the time they got down to where that was, it was become lukewarm. And he said, either way you go, tonight you do not need to be lukewarm. You need to be on fire for God and what he's called you to do. You know what he'll do in a person's life tonight? He loves you too much to let you be lukewarm. He loves you and he loves me too much to be lukewarm. Nobody wants to be around a lukewarm Christian. And nobody wants to be around a cold Christian. You know who they want to be around? They want to be around somebody on fire for God. They want to be around somebody on fire for God. If you're lukewarm tonight, you don't need to be around somebody cold. It won't be long. You'll be colder. If you're lukewarm tonight, you need to find you somebody on fire and get around them and stick with them and stay with them and let them use and let them help you and you help them. You use one another. Let God move on you tonight. He said he loved them too much to leave them there. Let me show you this here as well as we go through. Number one tonight, he was truthful because he loved them. If we be truthful tonight, what would be the temperature of your heart tonight? What would be the temperature of your heart tonight if we all be truthful in this place? Number two, not only was he truthful because he loved them, but he was truthful, so he rebuked them. For his nature, for who God is tonight, he loves you, but he also has to rebuke you. Child of God tonight, if all you want is his love, you're going to be in trouble. Because he's not going to give you just his love. He's going to give you his rebuking too. He says tonight, as many as I love, I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 17 tonight. I want to show you this in the text tonight. He says, because thou sayest. And here's what they said. They said, all's good. How many people do you talk to? You say, how you doing? I said, man, everything's good. How many people do you know right now? You can call them up and say, hey, man, how's it going? And here's the first thing they say. I said, man, all's good. Everything's good, man. Everything's good. Every time you talk to that person, everything's good, man. Everything's on the top notch. Everything's going great. Can I say to you now, probably everybody in this room can't say everything's good. We have something going on in our life. Most of the time, something's stirring. And here's what he says tonight. Because thou sayest, he said, I've not told you everything's good, but because you say everything's good, he says, I am rich. He says, you say that you are rich and increased with goods, and you don't have need of nothing. Everything, man, is just good. Man, everything's good. Everything's good. I don't have a need for nothing. My life is good. My family's good. My finances is good. Everything's lined up. I got a good future. I'm not worried. Preacher, everything is good. Everything is fine. But you know what the Lord said? He said, but that ain't what I see. Tonight, can I say to you, you can make everybody on the outside make everything look good, but God knows the inside. And he says tonight, he said, I love you enough to show you where you're really at. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 17. He said, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art what? There's five things there that he told them that they was. And he said, I want you to know this tonight. I want to be truthful with you. You don't think you got need for nothing, but you're in need tonight. Folks, tonight this church is in need. Man, we're in need tonight. If we get to the place that we don't have no need, like that building over there, if we get to where we don't need God to build that, we're in trouble. If God's not the centerpiece here, we're in trouble. Nothing else can take over. Nothing else can take place. He's got to be the center tonight. He said, but Jesus said different. Number one, he said, look with me if you will, in verse 17. He said, you're wretched. He said, you're wretched. He said, preacher, what does that mean? They was in distress and didn't even know it. They were stressed in a way. They were in a bad way and didn't even know it. They were in a bad way. And just what you're talking about tonight, Miss Patsy, the church, before all this come out, the church looked like everything was going great. It was growing, doing good. If you look around there, I'm sure they got money in the bank. They got a kids group. They got a good pastor. They got everything in the world going on, and everything looks good. But the Lord said, there's some in there that's wretched. There's some in there that's wretched, and it's going to destroy things if you're not careful. And here's what he said. He said, it's in a bad way tonight. Let me move on with that. I'm going to get off that. He said, but only you're wretched. And you know what Paul said there in the book of Romans? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Even Paul knew that. But he said, not only you're wretched, but you're miserable. Have you ever been around somebody that's miserable? Brother Jerry, amen. Have you ever been around somebody that is just miserable? I'm talking about they ain't only wretched. Not only are they stressed out, going crazy, and they're in a bad way, but they are miserable. When you just get close to them, you know they're miserable. Their life is miserable. Everything they got going on is miserable. They hate everything going on. They even hate themselves. They hate everything. They're miserable. He said, preacher, what is that? By looking at them, they got everything. Why should they be that way? Because it ain't physical, it's spiritual. When your spiritual gets right, it don't matter what the physical is going on. The spiritual's right, it'll heal things. And look at this tonight. He said, you're miserable. And I wrote this down in the paper here. He said, you're miserable. You're loaded, but you ain't got nothing to show for. You're loaded to the gills, but you ain't got nothing to show for. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? You're loaded, but ain't got nothing to show for. I can tell you all day long that, man, everything's good. Everything's good. But my face tells it all. There's some of you I've been around long enough. I've been here long enough. You know me. I can tell you, man, it's all good. But you can look inside and you say, oh, no, man, I can see his face. I can see the stress. I can see the tiredness. I look around and I see it on some of you. I can see it on you. The miserableness, how you get to that place in your life where you're like, I don't know how much more I can take. And here's what the Lord said. He said, but you're loaded, but you got nothing to show for. He said, you're wretched. Man, I don't want this church to get there. Amen. I want us to be nothing but a firecracker for Jesus. Big old pet rally. Loving Jesus every time we come in these doors. He said, you're wretched. You're miserable. And he's talking to the church, the saved. He's talking to the church, the saved. And he said, you're poor. He said, you're poor. They had everything. They had plenty. But they didn't need God. Folks, tonight, when we get to the place where we got everything we need and we don't need God, we're in trouble. Look what he says here. He said, not only you're wretched and miserable, but you're poor. They had gold, but they were poor. Poor in spirit. Here's another thing. And I'm going to stop right there. I don't want big buildings over here and us be poor in the spirit. I'd rather have a shack built right over there than a big building and be poor in the spirit. I'm just saying. You're poor. He said, you're blind. They were known for making eye salve. This town was known for making eyesight salve and eye powder to help people with vision problems, but they were blind themselves. He said, not only you're blind, but you're naked. He said, you're naked right there where you're at. You think you got it all going on? He told this church here, he said, you're making me sick the way you're living and the way you're doing. He said, you act like you got everything going on, but at the end of the day, you're naked. I can see right through what you got going on. And to be naked is to be defeated or to be in humiliation. To be defeated or to be in humiliation. And can I say to you tonight, when a church gets to a place where they don't think they need God, He will uncover them. He will expose them. And He will come to light. I see, number one tonight, that He's truthful in verse number 19 because He loves me. He loves you. He's truthful tonight because He rebukes me. He rebukes you tonight. I see tonight also He's truthful so he chastens them or corrects them. He chases you. He chastens you. He's on your heels. He's right there with you. He don't want you to be that way. He don't want me to be that way tonight. And I want to share this with you. He's truthful, so He chases them or corrects them. And here's what He says in verse 18. He said, I counsel thee. He said, I want to talk to you. I counsel you. I want to help you. To buy of me. He said, I want you to get a piece of me. I want you to quit trying to get the things this world's giving and just get a piece of me. I want you to quit getting the things this world's selling and try a piece of me. The lady that's at the wound care with my mom, a couple weeks ago I went and went with mom and went in and told her who I was. She knew me. And we got talking Jesus. Man, I'm talking about she didn't do a whole lot of talking. I know how it is. I do most of the talking. And son, I noticed it got awkward in a hurry, just right in the middle of it, you know. And I was telling her how good God was, man, how He saved my soul from the devil's hell. And man, you know what I'm talking about? And she's like, huh? And I'm talking about this rocking on. And most times I'm talking to Brother Tony Woodham, he'll chime in and say, yeah, save my soul too. She didn't chime in. She just sat back a little bit. I didn't think nothing about it. I said, well, maybe she's a doctor and I've overstepped and she can't be answering all these questions and I'm just putting too much on her. Didn't know. Today I didn't know I had to go back to the wound clinic. My mom, my sister called and said, hey, you got care. So we went. I got over there and she come in. She said, your mama tell you the good news? And I said, yeah, she had told me. On the way over here, she told me. She said, yeah, I got saved since that last time we talked. Amen. I said, amen. I grinned from ear to ear. And she said, you know, I have battled that for 30 years. 30 years. It's been a burden. I didn't know if I was lost. For 30 years, I didn't know if I was saved or lost. I said, listen, that'll never be a burden in your life. Once you settle it, it should never be a burden again. Once you settle it at the cross of Calvary, there's no burden again. If you've been to the cross, you know it. If you've been to Jesus and He saved your soul and He's redeemed you and bought you back, you know that you're saved. That ought not be a burden. That ought to be clear. That ought to be right there. And she said, I tell you what, I got saved and I've got a peace over me like you ain't never seen. And she said, even my husband said I'm different. And I said, something happened. I didn't say that, but something happened. Amen. But I just got talking to the lady today and she just was so bubbly telling how what God had done in her life. How God had moved on her. My mom's laying there on that bed, and my mom said, yeah, and I got saved too. And mama started telling that woman when she got saved, how God had saved her. You say, what does that mean, preacher? When you buy of God, you're going to tell it. If I go buy something in the world, or you go buy something in the world, you're going to tell about everybody. You're going to Facebook it, you're going to post it, you're going to do something. But He said, don't buy of the world, buy of me. Buy of me. Lay up this treasure where moth and rust and thieves can't destroy it. Lay it up. You say, what good is it going to do? Look here in verse number 18. He said, buy of me. Get some of me. Get what I got to give you. Let me show you this tonight. Number one that you see here, he says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He said, and you say, what is that? That's the faith that you have, the value of the faith that you have. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're a child of God tonight, you ought to value that more than anything in your life. You ought to value that more than your children, more than your marriage, more than anything you've got tonight. You ought to value that tonight. that you are a child of God tonight. He said, buy of me the righteousness of God, value of faith. Look what he said here, though. He said, not only the value of faith, but the virtue of your faith. He said that there's nobody in this room tonight sinless. Nobody. None of us. I know some of you might have got red flag right there, but nobody in this room is sinless. But I love what Adrian Rogers says. He said, none of us is sinless, but you do have the opportunity to be blameless. Ain't that true? We're all sinners. The only difference is a lost man and a saved man is he's saved by grace. He says tonight, here's what he said. He said, we're all got sin, but we can all be blameless as well. You say, what does that mean tonight, preacher? Look what he says here. That the virtue of your faith, that white raiment, Miss Patsy, that white raiment, what you're talking about a while ago, that throws virtue out the door. The value, their walk with Christ was not valued to their pleasure. Folks, you're going to get there one day in your life. Something's going to come your way. Whatever your temptation is, it's going to come your way. And you got to say tonight, I want you to know, preacher, the value that I got being born again is worth more than that. I will not fall. I will not concede, and I will not give in to that. Value of faith. The virtue of your faith. He said, put on that white raiment which shows the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As we get over to the book of Ephesians, and I talk with the married couples in class back there, and I ask them, I say, what color are you going to wear on your wedding day? And they say, I'm going to wear a white dress. Every one of them says that. And I said, can I ask you a question? And all them girls are like, yeah, Brother BJ. Hey, right up on the edge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, listen, you know what I'm talking about. I said, are you going to eat a chili dog right before you walk down the aisle? Why, Lord, no, it's a white dress. I said, why don't you want to eat a chili dog before you walk down the aisle? Because I might get a spot on it. I said, that's the same way as your Christian life is. Watch what you eat. Watch what you mess with. Watch what you get around. Because you're clothed in His righteousness. That white raiment is all around you. And the more you let get on it, the more it distorts and people can't see what God's doing in your life. You say, well, am I sinless? No, but you can be blameless. You say, I can't do that. My anointing won't let me do that. I can't do that. And here's this church, they're saying, hey, they weren't worried about their anointing. They're just worried about doing what they wanted to do. He says tonight, the value of the faith, the virtue of your faith, white raiment shows the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but also the vision that you have. The vision that you have. What's your vision tonight? As a child of God, what's your vision tonight? Look what he says here. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. If you're clothed in Christ Jesus, that nakedness is not going to appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That's the vision of your faith. Anoint your eyes with the Word of God. With the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Open our spiritual eyes to see the true condition of the church. Today I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and I'm getting completely off point, but I want to share this with you. You say, preacher, is it that important to have a value as a Christian? Is it that important to be a virtuous person? Is it, and the only time we talk about that is on Mother's Day, who can find a virtuous woman, but we all should be virtuous. A vision, is it really that important to have a vision? I got in Ecclesiastes day on this regular Bible study, and I got in there and I got reading, and he said, if all this that I've gained, I'm going to leave it to the generation behind. Am I going to leave it to a fool? That's what he says. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon says, am I going to leave this to a fool? Everything I've worked for, am I going to leave it to a fool? And he's talking about, guess who he's talking about? His kids, the people that he's bringing up. And I got thinking about that. You know how many generations you got to influence? You know how many generations you get to influence? Very few. The value that you put on Christianity right now, you've got very few generations to point that to. The virtue, the vision that you see that God's calling you to do and say, look, tell your kids, we can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Don't tell them because mom and daddy said so, because the Bible said so. I got thinking about how many generations that I'm going to be able to influence. Then I said, how many has my mama influenced just in her own home? Got my mama, there's one. She's one generation. Is that correct? Come on, y'all that does generation. My mama's got me. There's two. I got Kaylee. And you put Ryder together, that's three generations. I got a fourth one coming. Their kids. And I don't know if the Lord is, it's in his hands, it ain't in mine, but just let me say this. To see Ryder's kids, it's going to be a long time. My mama won't see his kids. No. I mean, you're talking about, she's 73. You're talking about, you're going 25 years down the road, she's going to be knocking 100. She might get 100. She might. But you say, what are you talking about, preacher? You ain't got very many people to influence in your life. And we're trying to talk to the whole world and not our own little circle. And Jesus told the church here, he said, listen, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you and who you're influencing. And you have got to have a value on your faith, on your Christianity. You've got to have a value. You've got to. You've got to start living a virtuous life. You're clothed in white raiment. And if you realize you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ and you got on this white raiment, you won't go in some places that you go in. You won't do it. You won't do something if you realize that you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Kevin McDaniel would be crazy to go to work tomorrow in a solid white suit. Changing oil. He'd be spotted up. I don't know how many generations, and some of y'all might have six, but I got thinking about that, or seven. That seven generations is almost impossible to still be alive at one time. Wouldn't you say, Miss Wanda? I see, I know you do. And six is very not heard of. Five, when you get to five, people start jumping up and down because five generations. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. He loves you too much to let you live the way you live because you got a generation that you're affecting. We got people in this church that's held this church together for years, pass it on to generation to generation. And what are we going to pass on to the next generation? You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do about it? He says, you're fixing to see in verse 20 where he says, between we were there tonight, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You can get to that place. He said, who I love, I chasten. I rebuke, I chasten. I love them, and I want them to be right where they need to be. They need to be zealous and repent. Let me show you what that is, and we'll close. Man, you got kids and grandkids and stuff. Man, it's just going to have to... Jesus always will tell you the truth about your heart. I can't tell you your heart tonight. I can't tell you nothing about your heart tonight. I know my heart's wicked, the Bible says, but Jesus will always tell you the truth about your heart. Verse 19 ends with saying, be zealous or... in other words, be passionate about repentance. I didn't know what you was going to talk about tonight. I can't hardly preach for thinking about where God showed me this in the Word. Repentance will keep a church / or a Christian on fire for Jesus. Any child of God, I don't care who it is, this goes back to the phone deal. Anybody that's cold or lukewarm, they're in an unrepentant state. Repentance produces that fire. Repentance produces that clean slate. Repentance removes anything between you and God. It's repentance. When we repent, we turn. And tonight he said, I love you too much to let you go the way you go. And tonight as a church, I don't know why we got on this tonight, but I'm so thankful that we did. That we stay a church that's repented if something comes in the room. I wished I could tell y'all. I wished I could take some of y'all to revivals and let you go sit in churches where they're dead, cold, calloused, and could care less. They've had a revival for 50 years on that date. They're going to call it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it their way. You're going to preach. Nobody's coming to the altar. Nothing's going to happen. Mr. So-and-so, he's making sure nothing's going to happen. And when it's over, you get up and walk back out, and we'll do it again for 5 nights in a row. You say, preacher, that ain't real. I say it all the time. All the time. I never want that to be here. I never want that to be here. I want us to be a church that's on fire for God. I want to be a church that's on fire for God. I thank God that I don't have to battle my daughter. Do you want to go to church? She's ready to go. She's ready to go. I thank God that I don't have to battle my wife. Does she want to go to church? She's ready to go. Ready to go. Tonight, can I say to you anything tonight? If you're a tad bit not on fire, Just get on fire. Lord, search my heart. You don't know it anyway. If there's anything in there that's keeping me from being, man, I'm talking about blazing hot. You show me. And I promise you that I'll repent of it. If you'll give him that prayer, I promise you he'll show you. He'll bring it right there to the forefront. He'll bring it right there out in front of you. And all you got to do is ask him to forgive you. And man, I'm telling you what, he'll do a work in your life. He'll open things. I'm telling you what, he'll open doors that ain't supposed to be open. And he'll shut doors that's supposed to be shut and ain't shut in a long time. Tonight, he loves you too much to leave you where he found you. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for everyone that's in this room tonight. Lord, I thank you for this Bible study. Lord, it's done me good. Lord, it's helped my spirit tonight. Lord, I thank you tonight that this is a church that's on fire for you. Lord, we got kids in classrooms right now running around having a good time. Lord, I pray you strengthen every teacher that's back there tonight. Lord, I pray you give them an extra strength tonight in a mighty way. Father, I thank you for the ones that's in my class tonight. Lord God, I don't want to take them for granted tonight, but I do know this, Father. Lord God, if we get slack and we get away from that book, we'll be falling out of church. We'll be falling out of fellowship. Father, I know that. That's in my own life tonight. Lord, my prayer is that none of us get to that place, but that we stay right where you'd have us to be. We have a value. We have a purpose tonight, and our vision is to see you work in our lives, that we may be able to teach our kids and our grandkids what it is to be a child of God. Father, I love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people said. Amen. Love